Welcome to Musinomics. I'm Larry Miller from the Music Business Program at NYU Steinhardt.
Spotify really has tried to pull a fast one and sneak around corners and reclassifying virtually all of its service as a bundle to pay royalty rates well below what was agreed to.
Adam Parnes is former global head of music publishing at Spotify. More from Adam in a minute. I listen to a lot of music and audiobooks. I listen to audiobooks while doing chores and as I move around New York City on the subway and in taxis. And my wife and I listen to audiobook thrillers on Audible when we're on long car rides. So I was intrigued when Spotify started offering audiobooks, up to 15 hours of 250,000 audiobooks late last year for no extra charge. That after the first price increase in the company's history went through last year for all U.S. premium subscribers. What Spotify was doing was bundling its paid-for music subscriptions in the U.S. with its nascent audiobook offer in an attempt to lower the rate it pays to songwriters and music publishers. Spotify says it's entitled to bundle its services in this way, despite having negotiated and settled rates at the United States Copyright Royalty Board in 2022 for the five-year period 2023 to 27. Now, Spotify has been trying to pay less to songwriters and music publishers for years. Back in 2019, the CRB forced streaming services to raise the rates it pays to the people who write the songs. Spotify and Amazon appealed, but the CRB held firm, with a lot of help from our pal David Israelite and the National Music Publishers Association. So now, despite having accepted a rate increase that forced the company to pay a little over 15% of revenue, here they go again, effectively hammering songwriters with a huge rate discount. Will they get away with it? Back to our friend and NYU Music Biz alum Adam Parnes, who just wrote a Billboard commentary entitled, "Spotify Must Ditch Its Blatantly Dishonest Scheme to Deny Songwriters Their Fair Share." I asked Adam what motivated him to write the commentary.
The piece was not meant to be incendiary, and look, I obviously come at this from a place of having previously been the global head of music publishing at Spotify, and have spent the last 5 years in my business broadly advising the global music publishing community. I mean, there's a lot of outrage from songwriters in particular, as well as the broader publishing community on this particular topic, because the feeling is that following a couple of years of the songwriter community and the publishing community being in limbo as Phono Records 3 worked its way through the CRB and then the appellate courts and then back to the CRB to render a final decision over what became a five-year legal odyssey. This settlement for Phono Records 4, which sets the statutory rates for 2023 through 2027, it was agreed to willingly by all parties. Everyone shook hands on it, announced it, middle of 2022, and you know, thought we were good until we go and do this again for Phono Records 5. So the sentiment is that Spotify really has tried to pull a fast one and sneak around corners and reclassifying virtually all of its service, really the remainder of its service, but for the free service as a bundle to pay royalty rates well below what was agreed to. Yeah, there's a lot of hard feelings directed at the company over this, generally of the opinion that this is not something they need to do and it's not something they should do, and it's patently unfair and unjust.
What actually just happened that led to the outrage in the music publishing and songwriter community especially?
So what happened is that under Phono Records 4, and you know, this is consistent, generally speaking, with previous Phono Records decisions to set statutory rates, whether they were arrived at by settlements or by the judge ultimately setting the terms, but there's rules around bundles. And what a bundle basically is in this context is the packaging of a qualifying music service, something, you know, like a Spotify or one of its competitors, into a package of services. You can have them individually, or you can get them as a bundle. Like a good example of that would be something like the Apple One product, right? You can purchase Apple Music on its own, or you can purchase Apple Music, the Apple One product, which has Apple Music, Apple TV, additional storage, Apple Fitness, all those which are services which have their own level of commercial success and are valid services. And in the case of something like Apple One, you're making an election to sign up to this service, knowing everything that's in the package. what happened with the Spotify bundle is not what happened at all, really. You've got somewhere in the area of 50 million users or so who use Spotify. And, you know, I count myself
in the United States, right?
Yeah, this is just the United States. That's right. Who did not sign up for a bundle. Count myself amongst the people who, prior to early November, you know, had been subscribers for 10 plus years. All of a sudden, you wake up, audiobooks is there. I haven't engaged with them. I haven't listened to them. I don't have a personal interest in it. I'm there on Spotify for the music. And so there's that. Now, sort of the real rub in this is that on March 1st, and this is when this I first raised my eyebrows of what was going on. On March 1st, Spotify launched what they call an audiobook access tier. So different, but related to the audiobooks that you have in the core Spotify product, where you have audiobooks and within their selection of what you offer, you could listen to up to 15 hours of audiobooks. They launched a separate audiobook access tier of service. It's $9.99 a month, and it's the same functionality. It's the library, and you have 15 hours. So when that initially came out, I was like, that's weird. Like, is there really some segment of people who will pay $10 a month to have 15 hours of audiobook listening time? It doesn't feel particularly competitive and viable. And for a dollar more, you get full-fledged Spotify with all the music in it, right? So I stopped to think about, like, why would they do that? And realized kind of quickly that it's only available in the US, and it's not available, or look, if it is available, I couldn't find it. Not available in any of the other countries where Spotify does have audiobooks in its premium product, which I believe that includes Canada, UK, Australia. And working in the space that I work in, advising publishers and knowing these regs maybe more than any human should, kind of initially was like, ah, crap, I see what they're going to do. They're going to use this to form some kind of argument that they qualify now as a bundle and can pay the lower bundled rates. So that's kind of the issue, right? Is that this audiobooks access product, it feels like it's not particularly commercially viable. And it feels to, you know, a lot of people have come to me and asked me about this. And a lot of people believe that this was launched at least in part, if not primarily, to stand up this audiobooks thing. As the MLC complaint points out, this product almost doesn't even want to be found on the Spotify website. You basically have to know that it exists and Google search to find it. And then even when you get there, it's buried two-thirds of the way down the page where there's three or four links on either side of, you know, enroll in audiobook access trying to just push you into premium. So this prevailing opinion out there, which I agree with, is that this was pushed out there as like a backdoor loophole of sorts for Spotify to try and form a legal opinion that they can pay these bundled rates rather than the proper rates for a standalone service that everybody knows they agree to when they signed up to for the 404 settlement.
How much of a potential net loss are we talking about for songwriters and music publishers?
It's huge. Billboard has estimated that it's $150 million on an annualized basis. I do trust their reporting on it. A lot depends on what they do as far as, like, if at some point will they roll out a music product and how, because, you know, if audiobooks isn't in it, my understanding is that then they're going to, you know, if there's a Spotify that's just music, right, at some point that they're going to treat that as a standalone product if it's not audiobooks. Right now, there is no, except for student, and you have to be a student to qualify, there is no Spotify premium product you can buy that does not have audiobooks in it. So presumably, they're essentially treating it all as bundles, right? Yeah, so the losses are staggering, and it depends upon a number of factors, but Billboard's estimated it to be $150 million on an annualized basis. It's presumably an amount that will continue to grow as the Spotify service continues to scale in its revenues and users in the United States.
As important as musical compositions are, the thing that songwriters do and their music publishers, to the fundamental thing that Spotify and the other digital service providers provide, that Spotify's been punching down at songwriters and publishers for a number of years. What's the track record?
It's not a good track record. And, you know, punching down is, it's the term I used in the article, and I think it's an accurate one. I mean, even in the last 5 years alone, the short history is that March 2019, Spotify essentially appeals the rate decision issued by the Copyright Royalty Board, a decision which I thought was a very fair and balanced decision. It increased the rates from 10.5% of revenue to 15.1% over a 5-year period, rather reasonably pace, right? It was a ramp, and produced benefits for Spotify and other DSPs. It gave them family discounts, gave them student discounts, it gave them bundle discount terms as well. But that wasn't good enough for them, and they and three other services appealed that decision. Like I said, that became something like a 5-year legal odyssey that went to an appellate court in DC. The appeal was successful in many regards from Spotify's vantage point and went back down to the Copyright Royalty Board for a remand hearing, and that set off like a whole bunch of legal processes and whatnot. I think, as you know, it wasn't until very, very recently, February 2024, when the MLC was able to collect all the royalties, essentially the delta of like what was paid versus what should have been paid from Spotify and a number of other DSPs, right? And there was some other stuff that went on in the interim where, you know, even though Spotify was appealing the decision, they moved pretty quickly to implement particularly the parts that it liked around family and student discounts. They did that in June 2019. It wound up in a multi-million dollar credit being taken back from songwriters to publishers. There was a lot of reporting around that time with headlines to the effect of Spotify says it paid too much and wants its money back. And yeah, so like I said, you know, everybody kind of thought we were in a period of like relative decency following the Phono Records settlement in late 2022. But here we are again with them coming back and trying to do something different. And this is all just in the last 5 years.
So what is being bundled is a nascent audiobook service with Spotify's music service of, you know, almost all of the recorded music. Do you think Spotify is actually interested in competing with Audible in the audiobook space?
I'm not besmirching them to build a real audiobooks business. We see them doing that. They acquired Findaway for a sizable amount of money. I think what they're trying to do in the audiobooks business is real and to build a real audiobooks business. I'm not questioning that. What I and others are questioning is specifically that they're using this audiobooks only tier that, again, everybody looks at that and is like, who's going to sign up for that, right? Spotify hasn't released any stats about how many subscribers there may be to audiobook access, but that they're using this, which again, it's only released in the US, which is a really big tell in this context. And they're using that to basically justify a bundle. I point out in the article, like there are other Spotify bundles that are available. If you sign up for Spotify Student, that is a bundle that comes with Hulu. That is a real bundle, right? Spotify and Hulu are real products. You can purchase each of them separately. They clearly have commercial value. They're independently successful. I think there was a Spotify Premium Individual bundle at some time. Like, that's what this is intended for. It's not intended to launch this shadow product that, again, like, and this is all in the MLC complaint. It's hard to find. You really can't find it unless you know it's there and you Google search for it. And even still, you've got this page that's saying, like, nope, don't subscribe to audiobooks access. Go to premium, go to premium, go to premium. It's a hallmark of not acting in good faith with what the intention of the settlement is. And there's no way that they are taking this course of action without a full realization of what it really is.
And so you think that this action by Spotify violates the spirit of the agreements arrived at in Phono Records 4?
It absolutely violates the spirit of that agreement, without question. I can tell you, like, there's no world in which music publishers signed up for this and thought that, oh, yeah, that's something that we're agreeing to. It's really a sneaky workaround. And like I said in my op-ed, if Spotify or any of its executives are thinking like, oh, no, well, we outsmarted the songwriting community and the publishing community on it, it's not a good look. It absolutely violates the spirit of the agreement. There's no question about that.
Spotify, on the other hand, says they paid a record amount to publishers and songwriters in 2023 and will pay even more in 2024. Is that relevant?
No, it's not. I mean, what's the point with that, right? When I hear a statement like that, it's meant to be a distraction, right? I mean, I say in the article, it may be true, right? Because it's a global business and they're growing in many areas of the world. So it may be true, but what's the point related to the current issue? The question with the bundling issue we're talking about is, are you or are you paying the proper amount that was agreed to? And what I'm saying is, and really everyone else is saying, is that that was not was intended, and it absolutely does not honor the spirit of the agreement.
Many companies that were prioritizing growth over profitability as recently as 2021 and 2022 are now clearly focused on improving the operating margin and becoming sustainable companies that can rely on their own operating profits to fund their growth. Is that what Spotify's trying to improve here?
I think so, right? One of the points I put out into the article is that to the extent this action is something of a reactionary move to, I mean, the company's talking a lot about being more efficient, hitting margin goals of 30% to 35%, right? And the challenges they've had with getting there in recent years are well publicized. So if this is something of like a part of reactionary move or moves to like help the margin get along, this is not the way to do it. And as I say in the article, like, the royalties that Spotify pays to music publishers and songwriters and other rights holders for that matter, like, that's not what's been holding them back, right? Their margin has been 25-ish, 26% area, basically for at least as long as they've been a public company, going back 6 years and some change right now. You know, they said in their, I believe it's their 2022 Investor Day, one of the interesting things is, if you go back and look at the transcript of that, Daniel comes out saying that, like, our music business in particular is probably doing better than you think it is. And throughout that presentation, they unravel a bunch of stats, including that the music GM at that point, I think, is in about the area of like about 28.3%, that it's their music economics. It's pulled upward a little bit by Marketplace. They talk about how Marketplace has been growing. And I think they said at that time they expected, I think it was going to grow, like, the number was about like another 30% in the next year. Like, Marketplace is doing well, right? It's become a nine-figure income source for them. And then they say, but we've been deliberately investing in these other growth areas. And like any other growth business, sometimes you're less profitable or not profitable, or margins are lower as you're investing in those things. And of course, a lot has changed. A lot of shows, exclusive or otherwise, haven't worked out. A lot of studios that they've acquired, there's been canceled shows and all sorts of other thing around that. And like, that's cool. That's all fine. I'm not taking them to task on any of that. The point is just being that, like, songwriter music publishing royalties are not the things that are hurting your margins. So to the extent that this is a reactionary move in the larger push towards margin improvement and margin relief, like, this is not the way to do it.
So what should Spotify do now?
The right thing to do would be to admit your faux pas, mea culpa, and honor the settlement the way that you know it was intended to. Simple as that. They had been reporting the way that people had been intended through all of 2023 and into 2024, up until the March reports that they sent to the MLC. Go back to doing that again. It's really simple, right? We're only a month and some change or so into this new paradigm, so to speak. What has done can be undone. And the way I look at this from a broader point of view, in life, including in business, sometimes something that you think you have the legal right to do is not the right thing to do. And even from a business perspective, is not something you should do. And I think, regardless of what it thinks it's legal, Spotify thinks its legal position is, this is not the right thing to do. And as I point out in my article, given the broader scale of Spotify's business and all the things they need publishers and songwriters for growth in other countries, for lyrics, for video content, from a business standpoint, it is not the smart thing to do. So what I think they should do, they can go back and undo it all on a voluntary basis. That would be the right thing to do, and it would be the smart thing to do for their business.
Let's hope they're listening. Adam Parnas, thanks for joining us again on Musonomics.
The Musonomics podcast is produced by Musonomics LLC, strategy consulting and analytics for and about the music industry. Thanks to our guest, Adam Parnas. Technical production this episode by Diship Garg. From the Music Business Program at NYU Steinhardt, I'm Larry Miller. Thanks for listening.